come on and join in as we're getting ready to get started on 1 Chronicles, the 23rd chapter.
That's right, Lady Kim. This is indeed a blessed day today. It's beautiful outside. We hope, even if you didn't get a chance to get outside, that even as you were moving back and forth, you had an opportunity to experience the beauty of God's holiness as he has set things in motion. And it always amazes me how the trees know when it's time to spring into action, and the flowers know when it's time for them to get set in motion. And God has already put everything in place. And so we have no reason to worry or fret about God taking care of us, because if he handles all of these other things, then we know that if his eye is on the sparrow, he watches over us. And so we praise God for his keeping power today. And we thank him for including us in his plan. Even as we prepare for this time together, we yet give God praise. I know it's been a weary day for some, and many are trying to get back on track. But just go ahead and let us know that the sound is coming in clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. The 23rd chapter of 1 Chronicles, about 32 verses there. A very interesting chapter. I think it's going to lend itself toward helping us understand something about staying in your right lane and staying in your lane, and understanding the importance of, assigning people to various tasks as is necessary in the body of Christ. So we'll see a little of that coming out here tonight. But let's go ahead and get started. Sound coming in clear. Let us know. Somebody give us a heads up,
thumbs up.
Okay. Let's have prayer, and then we're going to have a little review about from yesterday. And then we'll cover this 23rd chapter even tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for including us in this day. And we realize that this is the day that you made. And God, we're excited, so we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're not going to let our situation or our circumstance hinder us from giving you praise. We don't need the rocks to cry out for us, because Amen. You've done too much. Yes, you brought us too far. You've been too good and you've been too kind toward us. And so, God, we give you praise even now. And so now, God, as we prepare for this time together and study, we ask that you will be in our thoughts and in our thinking, that you be in our mouths and in our speaking. Yes. And we ask that you order our steps. And we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.
Yes, Lord.
You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody give God a thumbs up.
Amen.
Somebody tell the Lord thank you. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, we're in chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles, and it's good to see those of you who have joined us. Is that Miss Marinic Bonds down in Birmingham?
That looks like her.
Praise God. Thank you for being a part of this study tonight. It happens each Monday at the same time. You know, Lady Kim is a little weary because I told them last week that a storm was coming into town. And sure enough, it landed yesterday, and I didn't hear from anybody. I heard a lot of cracking and a lot of talking, but after last night's victory of the Lakers, I didn't hear a word from all of these Grizzly fans. I know somebody's going to be upset tonight, but I'm diehard.
Hey.
Glory God.
I'm not mad at you.
See,
they didn't
she,
go down.
She didn't say
didn't
I didn't hear all that.
Fight.
I didn't hear all that last
they
night.
They didn't go down without
all
a fight.
All right, that's not what we're talking about tonight.
Okay.
See, they got a little raise out of you. I see you woke now. Okay.
We just give
I see
you
up.
One,
you
the
up
first
now.
One.
Okay.
We give you the first one.
That's
you the
all
first
we needed. That's all we needed.
No, you need more than one.
No, we need the first one.
More than one.
Well, we don't want to prolong this conversation because we have a home court advantage now, and so we got what we came for. But we praise God for each of you tonight. Just a little inside humor, and this is a house divided, especially when the Grizzlies are playing the Lakers. But we praise God for each of you tonight and for those of you joining us. Lady Kim, just share with us a little bit about what happened in our worship experience yesterday, and just give us a little recap of what took place.
Well, you did a part two on your sermon that you started on Easter Sunday, but you came from a different passage of scripture.
Okay.
So the title was Restoration Out of Devastation.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture came from John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 29.
Okay.
And it talked about when the disciples were gathered together in the room, you know how they were locked up in the room.
That's right.
For fear of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid because they had just seen Jesus crucified.
Right.
You know, and he had witnessed him being beaten and tortured and crucified, and they saw him die. But it also says that Jesus showed himself to the disciples
mm-hmm.
on numerous occasions
okay.
after his death. And on this particular occasion, they were overjoyed to see the Lord. They said that Jesus came through a locked door.
Right.
You know, he just appeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know how he got in the room or where he came from, but they were overjoyed to see him. And he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So Jesus was giving them a command right there.
Right.
He said, just as I had come into this world, just as my Father has sent me into this world, I am sending you. And then he said, receive the Holy Ghost. And he breathed on them.
My Lord, Jesus.
That did something to me because it took me back to the book of Genesis.
Right, right.
When God breathed the breath into man, and man became a living soul.
Right,
and
right.
So when Jesus breathed on the disciples, oh my God, that gave them something that they hadn't had before.
That's right.
He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to say that Thomas, one of the 12, they weren't he wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came the first time. And so the other disciples, they were excited. They told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, but Thomas wouldn't believe him. He said, unless I see the nail marks in his hand, unless I put my finger in the nail marks and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe.
Right, right.
You know, and it's talked about a week later when the disciples were in the house again. This time, Thomas was with them.
That's right, that's right.
And Jesus appeared to them again. And Jesus gave Thomas specific instructions to put your finger, put your hand in these wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand in, reach your hand in my side and stop doubting.
Right.
He
right.
said, stop doubting.
Right.
And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God.
That's right.
My Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not
seen me and believed.
Right.
Right.
So that's an even greater blessing for us as believers,
because
we have never actually seen Christ in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
yet we believe.
So
Jesus says, because we believe and we have not seen him in person, we shall be even more abundantly blessed.
That's right. That's right. And so this was a critical time in the formation and the development, if you will, of these disciples. Because as you said, Lady Kim, they were locked behind doors. They were scared. They were afraid of what they had already seen the rulers, the scribes and the Pharisees do to Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing each time I read that passage, how oftentimes after they had witnessed all of what Jesus had done, the 3 years he was with them, that their faith began to wane, if you will, because of the fact that they were not really paying attention to some of the things that he was sharing with them, because everything that happened, he had already told them it was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so it is with us. Many times we forget about what the Lord has done when we find ourselves in a situation where devastation somehow overtakes us and we start looking at what we're going through
mm-hmm.
and not focusing on the one who's able to see us through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was with these disciples. And it's really a part of that same resurrection experience that we ought not allow that to just be a one-time event. But these disciples, they had some work that needed to be done. Jesus wanted to make sure that he energized and inspired them, motivated them, and breathed on them. He released the Holy Spirit on them before the upper room experience. Amen. That it was released on the church.
Amen.
And I think it was just to reinforce and give them the strength that they needed, Lady Kim, in order for them to fulfill the mission that he had sent for them to do.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's
yes.
Right. You had a few points that you talked about in the sermon too. And the first one was God will show up.
That's right.
You know, when our life is a wreck, when mm-hmm. we're devastated, when we're afraid,
that's
when we're
right.
down to nothing, God is up to something.
That's right. That's
God
right.
will show up every time
mm-hmm.
on our behalf. And so the thing is that we have to look for God, because
right.
the disciples weren't looking for
no,
Jesus.
They weren't looking
you
for
know,
him.
They were afraid. They were shut in. They thought he was gone for good.
Mm-hmm.
But here comes Jesus on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to expect God to show up. They
That's
had
right.
no expectations.
That's good.
Jesus had told them time and time again that he would rise again.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't even equate that into what they were going through. And so we have to make sure that we expect God to show up in our situation. And then you said God will show himself strong.
That's right. That's right.
Show himself strong on our behalf. And no matter what we go through in life, you know, God is with us. He's going to show up. But when he shows up, he's going to show out.
Hallelujah.
And so he's going to show himself strong on our behalf. You know, our witness is impacted by the resurrected Christ.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And there's nothing the devil can do to undo what God has done.
My,
that's
my,
one
my.
Of the things you said.
All
there
right.
is nothing that the devil can do to
Jesus.
Undo what God has done. God finished the work on the cross.
That's right.
Amen. And I don't care what the devil throws at you, that can't be undone.
Glory
and
God.
So because of what of Christ's finished work on the cross, we too have that same power.
That's right.
That
That's
same stamina, that same mindset that we can get up from whatever we're going through.
That's
and
good.
God will give us the power to move on. And then your last point was God will give you what you need to see it through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To see you through.
So part of that whole breathing on them was giving them the comforter in advance, if you will, in order for them to be ready to, because they were going to be the leaders
mm-hmm.
of the first century church.
Absolutely.
They were going to be the ones who were going to continue the work that Jesus had already started. And I was thinking as you were talking about what Paul said in Philippians, he says, he who has begun a good work in you
mm-hmm.
is well able to bring it to a flourishing finish.
Yes.
And so even if the devil seems as if he's trying to get a hold of us, or he's trying to hinder or prevent us from being who God has called us to be, we have to get it in our spirits that no weapon that's formed against us will be able to prosper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed. Doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to try you. Doesn't mean that you're going to see some things that doesn't look like the destiny that God has for your life. But it will not prosper.
It will not.
And so that's good news for us. And so even though we have situations where we find ourselves being devastated and torn apart and look like it's not going to work out for us, know that God is a God who restores.
Yes.
The Bible says he'll give you back what the enemy has already taken from you.
Amen.
And so we have to trust God even when we can't trace
That's
him.
Right.
We got to believe that his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And even though you might be in a place where you're locked in and you're shut down and you're about ready to give up hope. Thomas was ready to give up hope. Thomas was ready to go back to his previous occupation. But when God walked in the room, when Jesus showed up, he showed out.
Amen.
And he will do the same thing for you and for me. He is indeed an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
He came right in the nick of time. He wanted to do all of this before he ascended back to heaven, Lady Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to really embrace this word and let it be as seed and fertile soil unto our souls, because the same God who did it for them, guess what?
He'll do it for
us. He'll do it for us. Somebody
yes.
say hallelujah,
hallelujah
tonight.
Hallelujah, Lord.
So that was just what we were trying to emphasize and get people to see that that part two was just lingering in my spirit, because many times we flip the switch for on Easter and we flip it back off once it's over with. But no, this is not an event. This is an experience.
Yes, an experience that didn't last one day.
That's right.
Or didn't last a week. But it has lasted over 2,000 years.
That's right.
And so men are still changing from, just like Thomas, from his unbelief to belief and trusting in God. So whatever area in your life where you have doubts, you just need to trust God and watch God work it out on your behalf. Say, God, I put it in your hands.
That's right.
This and that.
That's right.
I put it all in your, this and that. I put it all in your hands. I'm trusting you, God, to work it out on my behalf. Work it out for my good. Sometimes it might not work out the way we expect it to work out.
That's right.
But one thing I do know for sure, if your hand is in God's hands, it's going to work out for you.
It's going to work out. So that was the word on yesterday. And we do praise God for those that we were able to lead through our new members orientation on Saturday, and then for the baptism that took place yesterday with three of our young disciples. And I tell you, that's an exciting time each time I experience that, and it ought to be for us as we witness baptism, because if you just think back when you were baptized and how excited you were, I could see the excitement and sense, you know, the nervousness, and they were just ready. One of them was really kind of frightened, but after we go through the instructions and everything, they, I'm all right, I'm okay, Pastor, I'm not scared of the water, I know how to swim. I said, well, we won't be swimming today, but we want to make sure now. So, but a joyful time in the Lord. And then, of course, Sunday morning, Lady Kim, with our Sunday school, I tell you, I'm just humbled by the fact that God has surrounded us with so many workers and so many people who are knowledgeable in the word and who are seeking God's face as they lead others in Bible study. I mean, in Sunday school, one of the key foundations for our development and our spiritual growth is the study of God's word. And it happens in sessions like this, but it also happens in Sunday school, and we're probably one of the few churches now. Most churches have opted out and gone to, you know, just right into service, but some people are still having Sunday school, but ours is one of the best, if not the best, in the city, and we praise God for our Sunday school superintendent and over our Christian education, Sister Georgia Rucker, and all of those who work with her. And she has a dynamic team of leaders and teachers and preachers of the gospel. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we praise God for them. Mm-hmm. But that was what happened yesterday. And I tell you, we look forward to what God is going to do. Mm-hmm. And we continue to give him praise for what he's already done. And so are there any comments, any questions there, Lady Kim,
right
as
now
we prepare? Mm-hmm. All right. And so we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on tonight. And we praise God for how he's just sustaining us in this season. And we're grateful for his spirit's abiding presence. And so we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. There are only 32 verses there. But this is a very interesting time in the life of Israel. David, of course, is getting old. And that first verse kind of gives us a clear signal that he's getting ready to transfer leadership into the hands of his son. But as we learned last week in the 22nd chapter, David was fully vested in making sure that his son received everything that he needed. And even though he was young, he made sure that he surrounded him with people who would help guide him until he caught it, until he was fully aware. And we know that David's son, Solomon, of course, was the wisest man and perhaps the richest man to ever live. Mm-hmm. And David was not able to build the temple, but it fell in the lap of his son, Solomon, who completed the task. Mm-hmm. And so we see David is now up in years and getting ready to pass the mantle, or if you will, or he's getting ready to pass and transfer, you know, the title and everything over to his son. But he's still working. Mm-hmm. He's still initiating the plan. And now it's time to execute the plan.
Amen.
And so he's establishing the things that's necessary in order for the completion of the temple to be fulfilled. But he stopped in the midst of all of that. Mm-hmm. And he begins to give instruction and direction to the people in terms of what their assignments and their responsibilities would be. Mm-hmm. That's just a brief recap of what is transpiring here. But the other thing I saw here, Lady Kim, is many times we focus in on inreach in terms of what's happening in the life of the church. But we'll see that there's a glimpse of outreach here in this passage as well, because it's not always about people coming to the church, but we have to go out and meet people where they are.
Amen.
In order to be a blessing to them.
That's
and
right.
So you're going to see some of that coming out here as well in this particular text for tonight.
Amen. Amen.
So one of the titles could be the ministers in the temple. There are different titles that could go along with this particular chapter. And this is going to also continue to run through probably about chapter 27 as they are laying foundation and as they are making sure that everybody understands their assignments.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So do we want to just go ahead and start reading, unless you have some other comments before you start reading?
Well, this very first part talks about the duties of the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
New duties for the Levites.
Okay.
So I appreciate David's gift of organization and structure.
Right, right.
You know, he's
administration.
Administration,
too.
Yes.
Organization.
That's a better word mm-hmm. for it. His gift of administration.
Right.
Because that is a spiritual gift. So his gift of administration to organize the Levites for and assign them specific tasks.
Decently and in order.
Yes.
And I'm a stickler for that, and some people just want to do things the way they think, you know, wake up and do something. But no, it's got to be done decent and in order. And I think when I think God smiles on that, he appreciates that. He understands order. He is a God of order, and many times we are out of order as his people. But God wants us to present ourselves in such a way, just as David talked about how he wanted this temple to be one that would be admired and people would get a sense of the magnificence of God as they came to this temple. So it is with God for us even today. We need to present our very best to God. We need to present excellence to God, not give him what's left over. Not giving him, but giving him what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not what's left, but
Amen.
What's right.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's read about 16 verses. You want to do that? Or have, what does it kick you to? There's a comment there.
This says, yes, Dr. Murray, you certainly are greatly appreciate the spirit of excellence.
Okay. Who said that?
Dr. Q.
Okay. I paid her to say that. So I'll get with you tomorrow. Dr. Q, just stop by the church. I got your lunch money for you.
Do I need to say something too? So I can get some of my lunch money?
No, I talked to her about that yesterday.
Okay.
But I didn't talk to you about it. No, I'm just joking. Thank you for that comment, Dr. Q. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many times people don't understand the protocol or the process and the order until they go and witness and observe things out of order
mm-hmm.
and see things that are just in disarray and people just doing stuff, you know, and you'll have a greater appreciation for it then. And so I would hope and pray that even as we go through our Institute for Leadership Training, even as we go through our Bible studies and our Sunday schools, that all of this helps equips us, even in our worship experience, to make sure that we present our best to God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay, what verses would you like me to read?
The first
tonight?
Verse, I think, is the one where it talks about David and he's getting old. Is that mm-hmm. right?
That's correct.
So what do you have? Were you reading from the Message Bible?
I'm reading from the Message Bible,
okay.
Yes.
How does that break out for you?
It really doesn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can stop ground 15 if you get see it breaking there for you. If not, you stop where you see a break there somewhere. Okay. 14, 15.
You can stop me when you say read or something like that.
Read. All right. Read. Hey, Bobo.
My heading says preparations for worship. I'm reading from the Message Bible, 1 Chronicles, the 23rd chapter. When David got to be an old man, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he brought together all the leaders of Israel, the priests and the Levites. The Levites, 30 years and older, were counted. The total was 38,000.
Wow.
David sorted them into work groups. 24,000 are in charge of administering worship in the sanctuary. 6,000 are officials and judges. 4,000 are security guards. 4,000 are to serve in the orchestra, praising God with instruments that I have provided for praise. David then divided the Levites into groups, named after the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The Gershonites, Ladan and Shimei, the three sons of Ladan, Jehiel, Zethim, and Joel. The three sons of Shimei, Shelomoth, Haziel, and Haran, all heads of the families of Ladan. The four sons of Shimei, Jahath, Zizah, Jeush, and Bera. Jahath came first, followed by Zizah, Jeush, and Bera. Did not only have many sons, they were also counted as one family with one task. Mm-hmm. The four sons of Korah, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The sons of Amram, Aaron, and Moses. Aaron was especially ordained to work in the Holy of Holies, to burn incense before God, mm-hmm. to serve God and bless his name always. This was a permanent appointment for Aaron and his sons. Moses and his sons were counted in the tribe of Levi.
Okay.
That's to 15, to 12, to 14.
Go ahead and keep reading.
The sons of Moses, you want me to keep reading all these names, huh?
No, you're doing a great job. And, you know, those who are following along, Lady Kim is about verse 13 now.
I'm at verse 15.
Verse 15.
Yes.
And it really describes the tribes, the Levites particularly, mm-hmm. and how he's breaking them down into different
work groups
mm-hmm. and responsibilities mm-hmm. are attached to each of them. Mm-hmm. And so it goes on down through about verse number, well, it probably simmers all the way down to about verse number 24. Mm-hmm. And so if you can read down to about verse 24, then we'll just stop there and just kind of give some explanation to some of the things that's happening.
Okay. Verse number 15, the sons of Moses, Gershon and Eleazar. Shebael was the first son of Gershon. Rehoboth was the first and only son of Eleazar. But through Eleazar had no sons. Rehobab had many sons. Shelomoth was the first son of Izhar. Hebron had four sons, Jeriah, Amariah, Zahaziel, and Jekaram. Uzziel had two sons, Micah and Isaiah. The sons of Merari, Malhi and Mushai. The sons of Melihi, Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar died without any sons, only daughters. Their cousins, the sons of Kish, mm-hmm. married the daughters. Mushai had three sons, Mahalai, Eder, and Jeremoth. These are the sons of Levi, 20 years and older, divided up according to families and heads of families, and listed in the work groups that took care of the worship in the sanctuary of God.
Okay, that's through 24, right?
Yes.
And so you see here that the plan is given, and now it's time to execute, because David had already received instructions in terms of what needed to happen in order for the temple to have everything in place for Solomon's takeover. And we see that he has actually initiated that process, and Solomon is actually king at this time. And so even though he's yet immature, he's still surrounded by those who would help in terms of executing the plan that God had given to David.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so you talked about several numbers here that were important, some 38 Levites and
38,000.
That's right, 38,000 Levites. And then how David divided them into units. Some of them supervised, some 24,000 supervised the work. There were some 4,000 musicians. Then he had another 4,000 who were doorkeepers. And then he scattered around about 6,000 of those that he had counted in terms of them being responsible for serving as the nation to minister as judges and as teachers of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to definitely applaud David's leadership here, because he was really administering the plan and trying to make sure that things were done in order as he provides direction for his son to continue the work that he had started.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned about Levites is that all the priests mm-hmm. came out of the Levitical tribe.
That's
or the
right.
tribe of Levi.
That's right.
But all Levites were not priests.
That's right.
So all priests came from Levi, but all Levites weren't priests.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that were priests had charge over the duties in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others were given the other tasks, like they talked about the musicians and mm-hmm.
the doorkeepers
and so forth and so on. So I found that interesting. But they all had a task to do. They all had a job to do. And that's what's important.
That's right.
That if you are in the house of the Lord,
that's it.
You need a job to do.
That's right.
Your job is not to sit and sour and soak and take in everything with your eyes and your ear gate and not get to work.
That's right.
Everybody has a job to do in the temple. And so it's our responsibility to get up and get to work.
That's right. Get busy. And make yourself a committee of one if you can't get anybody else to join you, and get busy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dad used to always say.
Yes, Lord.
And so one of the things here, another thing here, Lady Kim, is that we talked about things done decently and in order, and how David was really implicit, where he's really being secure in terms of making sure that they understood that. And the other thing here is that with the priests, they were divided into sections, the ones who were managing the temple. And some, no doubt, had to work the night shift because it was mm-hmm. a 24-hour responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so they worked in rotations and making sure that all of the needs of the people were met.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Anything else there that kind of jumps out at you?
Not that I can see right now.
Okay, so we'll see these names that Lady Kim has read has already, they're coming out of the tribe of Levi, and they had function while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and now that they have settled in a place where they are getting ready to finalize the structure of the temple, they are coming back and taking on their rightful assignments. Because while they were in the wilderness, they were primarily the ones who would, the tabernacle they were residing in during that time when they were moving around. the Levites were the ones responsible for breaking down and setting up. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big difference between a tabernacle and a temple. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so some people don't know that. Help them out there, Dr. Murray, and give us a little insight on that. Tabernacle is not a
permanent structure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Temple is a permanent structure. Yes. And so many times when we talk about the tabernacle, we're talking about something temporary. And when you go into the temple, then you're talking about a permanent structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's plain and simple. You know, sometimes people miss that in the interpretation, but that's basically what it is. Sometimes people use names that sound good, and they'll even title things by tabernacle, you know, and I don't have an issue with that, but just like our name is the Anointed Temple of Praise, some churches are called Tabernacle of Praise. And so it still is the same, you know, in terms of what they are trying to accomplish for God is God's house. It's just the name that really kind of helps get your understanding of what you're all about.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever that's worth, I don't know, but just throw that in.
Okay.
All right. All right. Any comments there?
None at all.
Any questions? Even as Lady Kim is getting ready to read the latter few verses, she stopped at about verse 24. There are only 32 verses there, and much of it had to do with the names and the giving instructions in terms of assignments for the tribe of Levi and making sure that everyone had proper assignment and understood the task that was before them, because they're getting ready to do a major work. And they were not just focused on what was happening inside. They had went outside as well to meet the people where they were so that they can understand and get clarity about what they were about to do.
Amen. All right. And so we're at the 25th verse, I'm sorry, in the 23rd chapter of First Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25, First Chronicles 23. David said, "Now that the God of Israel has given rest to his people and made Jerusalem his permanent home, the Levites no longer have to carry the tabernacle and all the furniture required for the work of worship."
Stop right there. That's what we were just making reference to. Mm-hmm. And that was in regards to what they were doing mm-hmm. while they were still in the wilderness.
Yes.
And now that they're here, they no longer have to carry the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. That's what that's referencing. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I thought about in the early days when mm-hmm. when Anointed Temple first got started, mm-hmm. our name should have been Anointed Tabernacle, because we actually went from
around.
Place to place to find worship space.
Yeah,
you know,
we didn't have a permanent place. That's right.
A permanent temple.
That's
so
right.
We had to break down. We started at the Marriott Hotel, and we would have a service on Sunday, and then we would fold up the tabernacle and
That's
take
right.
it home with us.
Put it in the trunks of God.
and bring it back that next Sunday. And we ended up in places like Lemoyne Owen College.
That's
and
right.
In gymnasiums.
In
and
the park.
In the park. And
the ballroom.
Yes, wherever we could find, we would set up the tabernacle.
That's right.
Amen. Until we got to our permanent place of Anointed Temple of Praise. And so when we got to 3939 Riverdale Road, we were officially the Anointed Temple of Praise, because we had a permanent structure where we didn't have to move things from place to place.
And Lady Kim, while you're talking about that, it's interesting. I remember one of our services where we had written out this, it was a lounge or a nightclub kind of, I can't think of the name of it now.
But Paramount Ballroom.
Paramount Ballroom, that's right. And a lot of people, probably some of the old schoolers here in Memphis remember, it was over off of Airways, mm-hmm. was it? And so we had worked with the owner of that place, because we were trying to find anywhere we could. We had already did our demographics, and we were clear that we wanted to do something in the Hickory Hill area. And so we went up in there, and it smelled like they had just left.
Left the party.
Party from Saturday night. And it was dark in there. We had to open up. and pull back the curtains and all of that and rearrange the chairs and the tables. You remember that?
Yes, we put a sheet over the bar.
That's right.
Open the door and let all the cigarette smoke pour out.
Yeah. And we opened up the curtains and stuff and put some light in there. And, man, then we have a service.
It was an awesome service.
It was upstairs, wasn't it?
Yes, and I know the Paramount Ballroom was never the same after we got through praising the Lord Sunday.
Well, we had a good crowd. Probably a lot of people knew where it was. And so we didn't have a problem with it.
You think some stayed over from the night before?
Some may have because, you know, somebody might have still been under the piano or somewhere up in there. The night before, but that was a great service that day.
It was awesome.
People came from near and far. That's for some of the older people who were not with us in the early days. Just wanted to give you that little insight in terms of how we were just, we were moving stuff and putting it in cars, and everybody had a responsibility for what they were going to take home. And we just wore out those little plastic plants we used to have. You remember
artificial
plants?
Yeah.
But they took a beating, didn't they?
They did.
But that's just a reference to how even back in this time that Lady Kim is just describing, how the Levites had responsibility for moving the tabernacle each time they would go to another site to set up and break down. And I think you're now at about verse number, 28.
Well, I stopped in the middle of 27, yes.
Okay.
And it says, these last words of David referred only to the Levites 20 years old and above.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So even in the numbers that they counted, they started at a certain age group then the age of 30. And now you're saying, it says here,
the age of 20
and above. So when they first started the count in the earlier verses in that chapter, arranging the men, it says that that as they began to count them, it was from the number age of 30 years and above. These were numbered, and then now he's moving age to 20 and above. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Verse number 28. All right.
From now on, the assigned work of the Levites was to assist Aaron's sons in the work of worship in God's house, maintain courtyards and closets, keep the furniture and utensils of worship clean, take care of any extra work needed in the work of worship, and provide bread for the table and flour for the meal offering and the unraised wafers. All baking and mixing, all measuring and weighing. Also, there were to be presents for morning prayers, thanking and praising God for evening prayers, and at the service of the whole burnt offerings to God on Sabbath, at new moons, and at all festivals. They were on regular duty to serve God according to their assignment and the required number. Verse 32, in short, the Levites with the sons of Aaron and their companions in the ministry of holy worship were responsible for everything that had to do with worship, the place and times, and the ordering of worship.
Wow, isn't that something? And so as you were reading that, Lady Kim, I was thinking about the importance and the significance of not taking any job lightly and how important it is for all of the things, even though it might seem to be non-essential, how important it is to do the very best with whatever assignment that may be given to you in the house of God, because it all works together. And so if you don't do your part in a way that brings glory and honor and excellence to God's name, then it's going to show up in terms of the whole of what we're trying to accomplish.
Amen. Every job is important.
That's right.
There are no big I's and little U's.
That's right.
Everybody is important. The task that everyone is assigned is essential to the work of the body.
That's right.
So we can't frown or look down upon others. That's just like, you know, in any other job you might have. I work with the school district. And, You know, just think if the people that clean up didn't come for 1 or 2 days, how the place would look. There would be trash would be overrunning. The sinks would be dirty.
The restrooms.
The restrooms would be unkept. You know, the floors would be dirty. So everybody plays a significant role, no matter how big or how small it is. Even when you're in the office, if you have somebody stapling papers together, that's the work that needs to be done.
That's right.
You know, and if the secretary had to do it, that takes time away from her doing something else. So if you can get someone else to do that, then that's an important job and frees up someone else to do the work, other work that needs to be done. So there's no little job in the kingdom of God. Every job is important.
That's right. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians when he used the analogy of making reference to the body and how, you know, the foot can say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I'm not important, nor can the eye say, you know, he used the whole part of the body because all of our parts are essential and important in order to fulfill the task that God has assigned. And so even if you're not the hand, you still have a major role to play. The ushers are important. The singers are important. Those who prepare the elements for communion are important. And those who get the bulletins out, it's very important because all of that leads to presentation as well as organization and administration of executing the work of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And so the pastor shouldn't have to be trying to regulate the heat and trying to sweep the floors and trying to make sure that the chairs, you know, in order and in place. Everybody has a role and a responsibility to play. And I praise God for ATOP. I tell you, we pastored several churches, but ATOP is really
ATOP
of the situation. That's right. And so we praise God for all of our leaders and all of those who are yet in training. We've just taken in a good core of people, and they were so excited in our new members class on Saturday as they were talking about what they wanted to do and how they were ready to get to work, wasn't they ready?
Yes.
And I tell you, I was just overjoyed to see the men that had come forth, and people are still excited. And I tell you, God's going to do some powerful things.
Yes.
And we're constantly praying that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into the harvest. And I believe that he's answering those prayers. So we need to be steadfast in that. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. For the word says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. And I believe he's doing that, and he's equipping us so that when those that are coming in come in, then we can't just get pulled back and not help push them to a place of exercising their gifts and understanding their roles and their responsibility and how important it is. So when you connect with somebody, make sure that you present yourself in such a way so that they will get a sense of what you are doing and how you are doing it in order. And they know that that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so even when we met with the ministers yesterday after service, you know, basically same thing that we're talking about now, making sure that we are aware, being responsible, being on point in terms of our leadership and what it means to be a minister of the gospel and how important that role is for those who are yet looking at us. You know, I can sense when people are looking, you know, people are observing, they are watching. And so we have to make sure we present ourselves in such a way.
In the best light.
The best light that we possibly can.
Amen.
Any comments or anything there that you need to share?
Not at this time. No, okay. Everybody's just agreeing with what you're saying.
Okay.
Lots of amens.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, our time is getting away from us, Lady Kim, and we've covered the verses that were to be shared tonight. Mm-hmm. And what would you say would be a good, even as Lady Kim is preparing to give us some words of recap for this 23rd chapter, what would you say, Lady Kim, would be what you would leave as a handle or two for someone to hold on to?
Well, just as a summary for the 23rd chapter of First Chronicles, you know, David made his son Solomon king over Israel, dividing the Levites into four groups or into four duties to serve God's house. Mm-hmm. The sons of Levi were divided into three groups. This was done when David was old. His days as ruler were done. So David is getting ready to fade off of the scene. Eventually he's going to die. But he's making sure that Solomon has a stable force of, or a stable committee of Levites, of people that are going to take care of the temple. And so he's organized them into groups so that they can function, and each one of them knew what their job was.
Okay. And that just kind of carries over even into the church today, because we call them auxiliaries and
ministries. Auxiliaries. Mm-hmm.
And it's important when you assign the task, and we can't say that enough, you have to execute the plan in such a way that it's consistent across the board, and it's not just what we preach, it should match what we teach and what people see when they are in these groups and in these committees and on these auxiliaries.
Amen.
Yes. So the message should match the ministry, in other words. And somebody typed that in, the message should match the ministry. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's all about. And so the message that I'm preaching, it shouldn't be foreign if I would walk into one of the meetings. But it should be consistent from what you're hearing from the pulpit all the way into the organizational groups. Would you agree, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Executive Pastor, yes, ma'am. Anything else?
Nope.
For the good of the body?
Not tonight.
Okay. Good to see you, Brother Jerry, tonight. And you back in the number, man. It's so good to see you back in service. And I tell you, we miss you. And we're certainly glad to see all of those who are coming back and who are making their way back into the house of the Lord. There are some comments there.
Yes. Sister Ethel, good to see you too. The Bible study was very informative for me, listening on my way to work. Thanks for the knowledge that I gained. Good night. All right. Have a blessed night at work. The message should match the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes.
Okay. All right. So if you have any prayer requests or any praise reports, go ahead and put those in the box at this time. What do we have coming up this week? Is anything happening in the life of ATOP this weekend and this week?
Not that you can think of.
We have our outreach. Feeding Sunday this Sunday. And we go out each fourth Sunday and we minister to probably about 400 people as we go to a couple of shelters, and then we go to the park, we go to three different locations, and then we go to locations downtown and around and just distribute hot meals. They are prepared at the church each fourth Sunday, and we have an excellent group that works to make that happen. And so we load everything on the bus. We have assigned now ministries who are responsible for going out each fourth Sunday. And we want everyone to get a chance to experience the outreach in terms of what we are doing and how it's changing lives in the community. And so I'm grateful for those who volunteer and those who cook and those who prepare meals. We don't really have to even prepare a meal on the fourth Sunday because our meal is already ready. In most cases, would you agree?
Amen.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. Any praise records or prayer requests, Lady Kim?
No, not at this time. Okay. Well, I have some that my sister had given me prior to Bible study. Some she asked for prayers for some of our family members.
Okay.
Our cousin Crystal Harper, she was hospitalized last week. She's home from the hospital, but still having a pain crisis. Her niece, Jamae Bolton, is also ill, having pain crisis. Their uncle, Virgil Gardner, in the loss of his father. My cousin, Maxine, the loss of her father. I'm sorry, the loss of her brother. That was her brother, not her father. So we lift them up in prayer. That's all I have right now. We want to continue to lift up our sick and shut in. Miss Lena Jackson still requests prayer. Says pray for Jessica, says pray for her strength and for her director, Melissa Donahue, having twins. This past Saturday, amen. The women's ministry is the supporting ministry this Sunday for the feeding program. So it's the women's ministry. So we hope the women can come out.
Who put that, Dr. Qualise?
Yes.
Okay. She must have found the folder that she was looking for yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sister Lavonia Jones is asking for prayers for her aunt, Charlotte Lee, who's going to have thyroid surgery soon. So we pray. One of the church members asked me to lift up in prayer her grandson, who has a court date coming up. So I'm just going to lift that young man in prayer, but I just ask you to just lift him up also.
Okay.
Prayers for a former coworker, James Adams. He's in the hospital. So we lift up James right now.
That's Brother Norris.
Yes.
And then, Sister Theron, if you could put the information out on the giving, because if people want to respond that are not here in the city or perhaps hear about what we're doing, particularly with our Meals on Wheels, you're more than welcome to donate. We don't have any funding other than what we're doing through our tithes and our offerings right now to support that work. And if you feel a need, if God is leading you to give whatever you want to give to help and support that, we're trying to get to a 500 people that we will take food to on the regular each fourth Sunday. And we stop at about, because we have two shelters and then we have three and one facility. And so if you would love to support us in that effort, we would greatly welcome your support of that effort. And we cook hot meals right at the church, and they package them and make sure that everything is in place for when we get ready to deliver. And sometimes while we are yet passing out food, we see people starting to eat, and you can look, they look back at the bus like, man, this is some good food, you know? And so we be like, yeah, it's on point, you know, desserts, the essentials, and then water. And so we certainly praise God for each of you. So if you want to support this work, you can just go through the information that Sister Theron is sent out there. And she says it right here on the different ways in which you can give.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So if there be no other prayer request at this time, let us go to God in prayer.
Okay.
God, as we approach your throne of grace and mercy tonight, once again, we thank you for showing up during this Bible study time. God, we ask that you would continue, God, to allow us to glean from Bible study so that our lives can become better. Let us take the words and make them applicable to our lives, God, so that we can be better stewards of our times, our talents, our resources, and the gifts that you have given us. God, we lift up the prayer request to you tonight.
Yes, God.
We lift up Crystal Harper to you, God.
We lift her up, God.
We ask that you would release her from that pain crisis.
Thank you, God. Thank
we
you.
Lift up Jamae Bolton tonight,
yes, God.
We ask that you would bless her, God, and lift her from her sickness. We pray for James Adams tonight, God, who's been placed in hospice. We ask, oh God, that you will watch over him. Give him the peace that surpasseth all understanding.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
we
God.
Ask a special blessing to be on Sister Charlotte Lee, God, as she is going to have surgery soon. We ask that you would be the hands of the physician in that operating room, God, so
Hallelujah.
That all things go well. We lift up Melissa Donahue in the birth of those babies, God. We ask that you would grow them up in the way that you would have them to go. We continue to lift up Sister Lena Jackson as she recovers from heart surgery, God. You know all about each and every one of the people that have been called tonight, God. But God, there are names that are not on this prayer request list that we haven't called.
That's right.
But you know them, God,
you know
name
them,
by
God.
Name.
Yes, God.
You know them, God, because you even number the hairs on their heads.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you tonight, God.
Thank you, God.
That you are meeting every need in their life. From the sick and shut in, to the bereaved, to those who are struggling, God, we speak right now in the name of Jesus to those who are battling mental health issues, God. We ask that you will stabilize their minds right now, God. Let them take the medication that they've been prescribed on a regular basis so they might be able to function in society.
Yes, God.
We bind the hand of the enemy, God, of young people and gun violence, God, in the city of Memphis, God. We pray for the family of the young man, oh God, who was going to pick up his siblings, oh God, and was senselessly gunned down through the door at a home, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to heal his body, God.
Jesus.
And then, God, that you would just give them peace, oh God, and a forgiving spirit, oh God. Let them not hold on to bitterness or harbor hatred, God, for what has happened. But we ask, God, that justice be done on his behalf. And we thank you tonight, God. We ask that you would stay the hand of the enemy of those who are picking up guns and trying to take lives senselessly, God. We ask in the name of Jesus that you will watch over and protect our children, God, our grandchildren, and our children's children, God. We ask in the name of Jesus that as they go forth from day to day, you put a hedge of Holy Ghost protection around
Hallelujah.
Them so that they might be safe. God, we lift up every student, every administrator, every educator to you as they the children take the TCAP and EOC test, oh God, this upcoming week and the weeks to follow. We ask, God, that they be focused on what it is, oh God, that they have learned. Bring back to their remembrance by the Holy Ghost what they have learned so they can do well on the assessments. And we thank you tonight, God. We love you and we bless you, God, for all that you've done. Now we ask a special blessing to be on our pastor tonight, Dr. Murray. We ask a special blessing to be on Anointed Temple of Praise as we go forth to do your holy will. We thank you that you are sending more laborers into the vineyard of Anointed Temple of Praise to do the work, God. We ask, oh God, that you would grow them up, God. Bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we thank you tonight, God, that you're going to do a new thing at ATOP. And you are going to be pleased with what we have done. We love you.
We love
bless
you,
you. We honor you. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Thank God for this Bible study, a powerful time tonight in the Lord. And don't forget, next week we'll start with chapter 24. So you can go ahead and read ahead and be prepared for that study on next week.
Amen. All right. We'll see you next week. Chapter 24, First Chronicles. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.